Okay, now we're ready to run. Ready to go.
Okay. And I just want to give our two members a few seconds if they'd like to say anything. Shelley, would you like to go first?
Yeah, sure. I'm really honored and excited, and I have a lot of energy and just, I don't know, I'm just glad to be here, I guess. I'm also on my second day back from spring break of a week in Palm Springs, so my brain's a little foggy. But yeah, just really happy and here to help and serve however I can. Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me and letting me get on the board again. Excited and hope that I can contribute in any way I can. And I'm excited to get this thing started. So thank you.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. We really appreciate you both being here. So I believe the first item we have to do is look at the
Cheryl,
see if there's any additions.
I've got to do a roll call before we move.
Oh, okay. I thought you did that. No. Sorry about that.
No, sorry. That's okay. So we'll do that real quick, and then we can get going on everything else. Nancy Steinberg, not here. Charles Mitchell,
here.
Cheryl Brown,
here.
Jenny Scarborough, absent. Jeff Schrantz. Ava Muniz Gonzalez. Ava, how does that? Do you, which one goes? Do you like Gonzalez first? Which one? How do you have that?
It does go first, yeah.
Gonzalez first? Okay, I'll make the change. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Al Gahuli.
Yeah.
Brian Norris. Anjanette Baker. Shelley Moore.
Here.
Todd Chandler.
Here.
CM. And Beatrice.
Here. Good morning, everyone, and welcome, Shelley and Charles. Thank you.
And Shelley and Charles, just so you know, CM is our appointed city council member, and Beatrice is our alternate council member, so she's in here today. And then we also have Keely on as one of our guests today, that's highlighted in the agenda. And I will want to say that Judy is out sick. She was out sick yesterday and today. And so we won't have the update from the rec center side, but Keely will be here for the pool side. Okay, Cheryl, we're good to go.
I think that probably covers additions or deletions to agenda, unless anyone else has any other items. Okay. So Mike did send out the minutes from our last meeting. Hopefully people have had a chance to review them. Did anybody notice any items that need to be corrected or edited in them? Do we have a motion to accept the minutes?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Al. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
I believe that was everyone.
I think
we're good to go. Abstentions, I guess, probably would be perhaps Shelley and Charles, since they weren't. Sorry, I'm trying to look at things while not ideal. I forgot to print out the agenda. So our first item is we have Keely, who's going to provide us with an update on the Aquatic Center. Thank you so much for attending, Keely. Oops, I think you're muted.
There we go. So as far as programming, we had some spring break special events, and we had a pretty good turnout for them last week. We had the Winter Carnival last month, At that point, we were still wearing masks, and so we didn't have a great turnout. We did sell 54 tickets, but we were hoping for a little bit more people. We're taking a break from swim lessons right now due to staffing shortages. But we did have a swim lesson clinic on March 12th. We had 16 families attend. And we just kind of taught parents how to teach their kids some really basic swim lesson skills. Upcoming programs and events, we have the egg dive happening on April 9th. We have another swim lesson clinic on April 16th. The Aquatic Center will be closed the weekend of April 22nd through the 24th for a Newport swim meet. And then starting on April 30th, we're going to be doing Saturday swim lessons. And those will be doing most of our levels again, so that'll be good. May is National Water Safety Month, so we have a water safety clinic on May 14th. And we have an Under the Sea special event on May 21st. So we have a lot happening on Saturdays. That's the only day of the week that we're fully staffed right now, so trying to take advantage of that. We have 6 part-time lifeguards and 1 full-time temporary lifeguard right now. We're looking to fill 5 more part-time lifeguard positions. And we still need to fill the assistant aquatic supervisor position. So we're mostly looking for people to work midday and evening shifts, Tuesdays through Thursdays. Mm-hmm. And then as far as facility issues, we're still dealing with plaster chipping in all 3 pools. We've been putting an epoxy putty on it, trying to do that once a week, but it's spreading pretty quickly, so we've been kind of a losing battle for us. Our numbers are definitely increasing now that COVID's over, which has been good. We've been getting lots of rentals, which has also been good.
That's great. Great. Mm-hmm. Does anyone have any questions for Keely?
Yeah, I do. Either Keely or Mike. Mike might be the one who'll know this better. The original cracks that occurred in that pool, they've not been repaired, right, Mike?
That's correct.
I was just going to say, can you give us an update? Because it seems like, you know, every meeting, it's felt that's going to be taken care of down the road. Is there any down the road where they're going to empty the pool and really fix it?
Yeah, we're still working with engineering. Keely and I have provided the engineering side of it. Some of the pool contractors within the state that might be able to help facilitate and look at the issues and give us a better sense of direction. You know, our engineering department isn't a pool specified engineer or contractor. And so we need to get a specialist in. We are still continuing to have American Leak Detection come out, and they are filling the crack, or they're checking, doing dye tests on the crack. Right now, I think it's, Keely, correct me if I'm wrong, we haven't had them out in a couple months, I think.
Yeah, I think January was the last time.
Yeah, and what they found very minimal amount of growth on any of the cracks, so we're kind of spacing it out now. And we're waiting to get a more specialized engineer to come in and give us some better direction on where we're going to go with this, the whole project, because we think are kind of connected, and you know, the plaster issue. And so it's got to get this crack done first, and we have the quote, and we're going to try to push forward in this next fiscal year to get the cracks done is the game plan.
Mm-hmm. So, but there's also a settling issue, correct? Like a slope on the deck as well?
Yep. That slope on the deck is happening in the southeast corner. And that's kind of where we're not sure if the ground's settling or it's still inconclusive with the one report that was done. And so we need to look and try to figure out what else is causing this, or if there is something causing it. What we'll probably have to do is build that corner of the deck up a little bit. And we have several options that were given to us by the past contractor with the build. And so we'll have to build it up, I think, about an inch. So that way the pool deck is level across. Because I think Aunt Keely can explain more. We had some issues with the swim meets.
Yep.
because of that.
Yeah.
What are the dimensions of this 1-inch slope? Like, are we talking 10 feet, 20 feet?
I don't know that off the top of my head. Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the records.
But it's definitely influencing swim meets because the water's overflowing on that edge. And Keely can mention what's going to have to happen at the upcoming meet.
Yeah, we're going to have to limit the amount of people in the pool at one time during warm-ups, which is definitely affecting the meet a lot. They had to bring it down from an invitational to a tri meet.
Lots of ripple effects to that.
Yeah. So, Keely, a question for you. What can we do as a committee to support you? Are there any particular areas we could help?
What are some examples of some ways you guys are maybe supporting the other facilities?
Well, that's a good question. I know that for other things, like we've helped with special events and things like that, with help volunteering at some of the events, things like the tree, even Coastal Classic at times. I don't know if there's any way that we could help with some of your special events, if there's any issues that you're dealing with that we can help at all. Or a connection to the local community, if there's, you know, ways that we can help with that on the communication side. Do you have other suggestions, Mike?
I was just thinking through that in my head. And I think maybe one thing that could be coming up here on the horizon would be staffing wages. One of the issues that we kind of think is causing the shortage is inadequate pay. Council approved for now through, or a couple months ago, through the end of the fiscal year, with that, with a bump in pay, but, you know, going forward in the next fiscal years. And so there might be a need there with the committee showing the support for that of what we're looking at, but as a department and in administration and HR, we're all working together, looking and evaluating if we can do that from a financial side. And so maybe that would be another way of supporting that push, because we think that is, you know, lifeguard positions are a skilled position. It takes a little bit more of a know-how to do it, even though, you know, I know people think lifeguarding is easy, but, you know, it does take skill. I was a lifeguard in my former days, and, you know, swimming with a brick, you know, just legs, treading water, it takes a skill there to do it, and just knowing how to swim, period. So that would be nice, and that would be a potential way.
Mike, is it the hiring practice of the city to offer a bump in pay for those who are native speakers of other languages?
Say that again?
Do you offer an increase in pay for folks that are native speakers of other languages that are not English? Like their primary language is not English. So, for example, if Spanish was their main language, or perhaps they were bilingual, that's a practice that the district uses and other organizations. And I wonder about that.
You know, I don't think we have that. And I think just recently the library is the first department that's had a bilingual staff member, and it's written into the job description. And so I could check on that. I think that's a great idea, Shelley. And I think, you know, that would be another push, potentially from the personnel side, you know, supporting that type of structure within the pay scale. So I would have to start that discussion with HR, and then I could bring that back to the committee.
So I just want to, one thing that I want to mention is that what Newport is facing with the pool on the staffing side, in particular lifeguards, it's happening all around the state. My daughter just was at age group state championship meet up in Tualatin, and they had to change the meet format because they had limited staff. And so they actually ended up cutting all relays, cutting events to reduce the length of the meet. So it's definitely a statewide issue.
I was talking to a business owner this morning in the meeting prior to this one, and they noted that in the similar timeline that folks are required now to repay any kind of COVID-related rent relief, that they're now having to repay that, that they have now had a boost in people that are applying for positions at their companies. I thought that was interesting. So maybe that will follow suit here too. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Are those are those part-time lifeguards out there? And do you guys know of some that have said, I'll come back when the pay is a little higher? Or are they just, we just don't have that many in town?
We just don't have that many in town. No. I think maybe if it paid better, we'd get more people, but they make $13.75 an hour for starting pay. So you really have to be someone that, you know, loves the pool and wants to be around the pool all the time to do a job like that.
And you provide the training, correct?
Yeah, we do all the training.
And Kaylee, did you mention the new program? It's this kind of sidetracked, but it could help potentially benefit us from a recruiting standpoint. There's a program that Kaylee wants to do, teaching CPR, first aid, just to the public. I believe, and that could be beneficial for us if we're teaching that, and then we can also, you know, see if people might be interested in lifeguarding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can maybe recruit people through that. But yeah, hopefully next year we'll be teaching some community CPR classes.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And something that Keely and I and Judy have been evaluating, and I don't even know if we're going to be able to do this in the next fiscal year. We're playing with numbers to see if we, you know, were to add in a full-time lifeguard position or a full-time building attendant or a full-time front desk position, but eliminating part-time positions, would that benefit us from a retention standpoint, recruiting and retention standpoint, and also close those gaps during the middle of the days? Because that's kind of a hard time for, you know, high schoolers, college students, you know, that middle part is tough. And so we're playing with those numbers. We don't know if it'll work. You know, I've talked with Spencer about it. He's supportive of us looking at these numbers, and so we're working with finance. But there's a huge cost that goes with a full-time employee compared to a part-time. And it's just for a single person working full-time compared to a part-time, the behind-the-scenes cost is about $30,000 extra on the city. And so it's a significant bump financially. So we're playing with the numbers to see if we can get anything comparable, to see if we can take a new model forward.
Do we have any other questions for Kaylee?
I don't have a question, but I just wanted to, if I took my kids the whole time for the spring break for the pool, and it was so much fun. There was so many people. It was great. It was so much fun. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will
say
the
pictures were great.
It was a madhouse in the rec center side. As the spring break events were coming up, they would just be packed with people in the lobby and front desk.
Yeah, I saw a couple of the regulars probably. They were just like, it's a madhouse in here. Like, yep.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for the update. And please let us know if there's anything that we can do to help. And can you accept volunteer help, like on the pool deck for these events? I mean, being a mother of a teen swimmer, that's something that I've wondered about.
I think we can. I know in the past we did, and then I wasn't sure if volunteers were allowed because of COVID. But I know a couple of years ago for the Winter Carnival, we had volunteers. So, that would be awesome for special events for sure.
Great. Okay, we'll get in touch with you about that then.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so our next item, I believe, that we're skipping unless Mike has something to cover on the Recreation Center update.
No. Judy, I was out on vacation for part of the week last week, and Judy then went out on sick. So I'm going to let Judy talk about it in detail, and then okay. I can jump in next. I'm assuming we'll kick it to the next meeting.
Yes. Okay. The next item is update on the report of the Friends Newport Park and Recreation Association.
Yeah, so I probably should have invited Peggy O'Callaghan, and then we can maybe bring her in for another meeting. We do have Al here. So the Friends Newport Parks and Rec Association is got jump started. We probably started that having monthly meetings back in late fall, I would say. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. And Peggy O'Callaghan is the president. Al is the vice president, and Jenny Scarborough is the secretary. Right now, it's just a three-person board. And we're keeping it small just as we were getting it through the whole recertification phase, and then as we start to get some momentum, we're going to expand the board. I think it was in January, we received notification from the IRS, and they approved our reinstating us as a nonprofit, or not us, the organization. I think the February meeting and March meeting, discussing kind of a plan in, you know, to kind of where do we want to go now that we're back up and running. And so Peggy took it upon herself. She did some research, and I think it was through the Oregon Community Foundation, Al? But she's applying for a small grant for the parks to benefit the park system. And she's working with the board, myself, and Dave Barbaro with the Lincoln County Work Crew to put together, I think it's a $10,000 grant application, and to help assist with the cost of contracting the Lincoln County Work Crew to help with beefing up some of our beautification projects within the parks. And so I believe that application was going to be submitted soon, or was already submitted this month. And then the committee has, or the board has, registered the association with Fred Meyer Rewards and with Amazon. And we are going to be doing a campaign out to the members or past members of Parks and Rec, and just kind of publicly put it on our webpage, a donation button, just kind of promoting the organization as a whole, how to donate, how to do the Fred Meyer, how to do Amazon, just to kind of get things rolling from that standpoint, just generate some funds. We have minimal amount of funds, but we want to kind of just start snowballing that. And then we are also, the board put together kind of a quick survey I'm going to be sending out to managers, kind of like, we're back, we're up and running. Tell us what you guys need. Anything from a pack of pencils to you know, mm-hmm. a new building, and just to kind of gauge where everybody's at in each division, the needs that are there, the wants, the wish lists, and then kind of give us a better direction from there. For the organization to figure out how to kind of generate revenue or generate some supplemental funding or generate, you know, volunteers. So there's a lot of things happening there with that organization.
That's great. It's exciting that it's back up.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
very cool.
It's fun to get this thing going, and I can see the momentum, and Peggy has a lot of experience. Jenny has a lot of experience. Al's got a lot of experience. Al and Jenny are from the previous board, so they know the history, which is nice. And, you know, Peggy comes from a good friends organization that was over at the 60 Plus Center. And so that's nice to carry that over onto this side as we restart it.
One comment just so that everyone on the board knows this. All that Mike said, those are nice things. What we're hoping will happen at some point in the future is somebody knows somebody that has X amount of dollars and they itemize their taxes. It's a total tax write-off if they do. And they can walk in and say, I'm going to give you 20 grand right off to them. And they can designate what they want that used for. If they want to throw it to the lighting project in the pool, new gym equipment. So just keep your ears open. If you hear people like that and they're out there, that's what we're hoping to generate.
Have you considered like contacting the newspaper about somehow doing a story on it? I know Nancy.
And also inserts in talking to Judy and inserts in the water bills, I think it is, you know. But it's just building. It's something that's going to take some time.
Yeah. Yay, exciting. Well, it's successful. It will be.
Yeah, I agree. Just promoting and getting the word out, and that's kind of the you know why we want to do the email. Our email database from Civic Rec is I think it's around 8,000-9,000 emails. And then you know putting the word out or putting a blurb in our activity guides to keep it there. Working with the paper on the activity guides there, and they're disseminating that through the News Times. Paper. So, you know, everybody, I think around like 4,000 people get the paper in the county. And so we have that avenue there. So it's just, you know, now it's a PR thing, like you said, Cheryl. We need to do a little PR push and get the word out.
Exciting. So I believe, Mike, you're going to cover the next item, the update on the park system master plan.
Yeah, so we've got some fun stuff going with the park master plan. We have just, and things are kind of starting to gain momentum there on that end. We kind of were not in a standstill, but it was just a slow moving system because I was kind of shouldering that load of the supervisor role plus all the other job responsibilities. And so certain projects kind of move slowly. The weather, also the weather window, it's hard to do stuff in the late fall, winter around here. So, you know, the Ocean to Bay Trail signage, we have money that is budgeted for it. We haven't started conversations with any consultants or contractors on that. That is something that is on our docket of projects to work on in the next coming year, hopefully by the fall. The North Park, I believe we chatted about this, I want to say maybe in late fall, which is on the Northern Agate, the concept of a Northern, Northeast side of 101 Agate Beach Park, behind the Surf View Village. That is still in the concept plan discussion phase with the property owner. And I haven't actually talked with community planning on that in a couple months. And it's just, I think it's still in the very infancy phase. Presented that in front of city council, and they were very supportive of the idea and the project. And so it's just going to be more conversations with the landowner there and developer. We'll be placing a phone call to the port regarding, if you guys remember the park master plan, they're an easy project partnering with the port for better signage in South Beach where the kayak launch is, which is the old original boat ramp there by Rogue. You know, that's where everybody puts in for kayaks, but the signage isn't 100%, you know, clear on where that is. So I have to call the port about some other items down on the boardwalk, so I'm going to have that conversation with them and see what we can do for partnering there. But projects that we're really, we've got on our front of our plate is the Betty Wheeler lights. We've had the lights sitting in the warehouse last year. We purchased those, but we weren't able to get the project going in the fall. The rains came in pretty quick, and that kind of stopped everything. We awarded the project install to Western States Electric, met on site with Scott Bernards, who's the new park maintenance supervisor, who we'll need to loop in a future meeting, and met with Western States, the three of us, and they should be getting back to us here probably within the next week or two with a timeline. We're shooting for June. Late May, early June to get those lights in. They think they should be able to get the lights installed within probably a 1 week period. So very excited about that, and that'll save us significant amounts of money because we're going from old antiquated power sucking lights to LEDs. We'll remove a whole breaker box from our snack shack. So it's gonna be a good project. We have the Frank Wade Park large baseball field, the outfield project. This was brought to our attention, to my attention, in late summer with the high school baseball program. The outfield looks like a greenway for a golf course. It's just nice kind of rolling hills, which is not how a baseball outfield should be. We have some settling that's been going on. And so we have some money that was allocated for that project. I kind of begged, borrowed, and stealed from every account that I could. We have that budgeted, and we had some hiccups with the irrigation system. We found out there was an irrigation pump up there. We removed it and replaced it, and we now just to get it finalized and tested to see if the irrigation, that will help our irrigation system. If it does, that will significantly reduce the cost for part of the project, which will put us under budget again. We thought we had under budgeted with the thought of the irrigation system having to be replaced, but if we don't have to replace it, that puts us back in a good spot with the budget for the project. And work closely with the school district and Ground FX on that. We're scoping out the project, and we should have something out soon for bid, and we want to get that project done in August. Once baseball season and Legion baseball is over with over there. On the agenda, I did attach a staff report and a concept drawing that went in front of City Council in their last meeting for the approval of a resolution for us as city staff to apply for a little under $400,000 in grant money through Oregon Parks and Recreation. It's their annual large grant, community grant program that they do annually. Last year, they didn't do their large or small grants because of COVID, and so they have an abundance of money this year. We're hoping to get this. We have matching funds from the city side. 40% is what we have to provide, and we have that through Urban Renewal District and Parks SDC funds. And so the idea there, the park master plan, that's a tier one project, the whole rehabilitation of the park up there, it's the Agate Beach neighborhood and dog park, which is on 60th Street on the west side of 101. And so the idea there, you can see in the concept plans, new playgrounds, actually two new playgrounds right now. If you guys aren't familiar with that park, there's just two big rocks that just sit where the old playground was. And I think that was removed. The old playground was removed about 10 years ago. The open green space that's there, we have some tables, picnic tables that need to kind of get refurbished. We have some ideas of putting in some benches. Improvement for the pathways that move through there. There could be potential for extending Big Street all the way through and connecting it to 60th Street, which is on the back end, the west side of the park. Improvements for the parking lots on the side of the dog park and in front of the dog park for all park users access, having pathway connecting to the parking lot. Right now there's just a gravel pathway. So, you know, getting ADA compliance there. Within the park, water, providing some water fountains for people and for pets. We don't have a water source out there right now for the dog park, and that's been a big ask from the dog park side. And then there's the fence project for the dog park. In the concept plan, it shows it running north to south, And I think it was early summer last year, we started the project, and we thought that was an approved plan, but it wasn't, and there wasn't really much community engagement. So stopped the project, went back out and met with community users at the dog park, did a community survey for the several options or design options. And so recently I sent out an email that we're going to start that project prior to doing this bigger park rehabilitation project. And the new layout is going to be running east to west for that fence project. So we hope to get that done in the next couple months. But so that won't be part of the bigger rehabilitation. But you know, that grant application is due at the end of the week, and it's looking pretty good. We have a lot of community support, and it's been quite some time since the department's been awarded a state park grant. And so we're hoping that will, you know, provide us with a really good rehabilitation project that's much needed up there. If we get that grant for that project, right now we currently have funding that is earmarked for Sam Moore, or for the playground, $50,000 that was put in, I think, last fiscal year to replace the playground at Agate Beach. And if we can get the grant, then we're going to shift those funds and try to do a replacement out, a playground replacement at Sam Moore Parkway by the skate park. That is another playground system that I think it's about 20 years old. It's rusted out. We have tape around it right now. So we're just kind of, we're waiting to see if we can get that grant, and then we can ship that money over and kind of get two birds, one stone kind of feel for that. So those are kind of some of the projects that we have going, some of the ones that we hope to get going in the next year. We're kind of making some forward momentum. Staffing-wise on the park side, we're doing good in regards to hiring. I was going to highlight that in my monthly report. We've kind of shifted our temps into full-time positions, and now we're recruiting. So we should have a bigger push from our park side staffing to kind of help with these projects and get them moving.
Mike, quick report on Thomas and the trails above the reservoir.
Oh, yes. Glad you brought that up. Yeah, so the Newts, they are pretty much coming to an end with their first phase of trail systems. And for those that aren't aware, we haven't talked about it for some time, if you go out to the reservoir and then drive to the second body of water, about halfway up on the left-hand side, you'll see a trailhead access point, kind of, and then further up, you'll see a wooden kiosk that's kind of tucked in the woods there. And so that's the, I believe there's three trails that they built up there. One is a climbing trail, and then the other two are connection trails that are downhill. And we've done three rounds of inspections out there on the three trails. The most recent one was done a couple weeks ago. The trails look great. They're ready to go. We didn't see any issues. They made all the updates and changes that they needed to from the previous inspections. And I'm meeting with Thomas and the Newts, and I believe it's tomorrow, and we're going to be discussing signage and getting the kiosk completed with all the correct signage prior to officially opening the trails. So the trails are currently being used heavily, I know. It's hard to keep things off of Strava and from the heat maps that the public can see. And so once you do that, it just kind of, everybody comes at that point. But the trails are fun. I've ridden them myself during the inspection process, and it's a lot of fun, and they're great. My kids have walked them, and they love running the curves and the bowls and the berms, and so it's a good time. There's a lot of users out there.
What were you riding? Were you riding a quad, a bicycle, a motorcycle when you rode them?
Oh, mountain bike. Yeah. Okay. No quads out there. No quads or motorcycle. There are some illegal users that do that, but they haven't done it on the
trail. That wouldn't be me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it
Mike, how many miles of trail are there right now?
Oh, I don't know that off the top of my head. I think it's about 2.5-3 miles, I think. So, and this is just the first phase, and I think this is the farthest east phase I believe. I'd have to go back and look at the different plots that they want to do some development on. But the next phase, Thomas has told me that they want to kind of do some multi-use trails. Right now, the only multi-use trail is the uphill climb trail. And then the downhill is more of a mountain bike trail just because of the way those trails have been built and the speed that the riders would have. But so now it's more multi-use trails coming from the top side of that hill coming down, heading west, closer to the Big Creek Park area.
Okay. Can't wait to get out there. So I think this probably leads right into your department report. You kind of started going into it already.
Yeah. And I can, sorry, I got to get to my notes here. Yeah, so for the department report, it was a busy February. I made a mistake on my memo. This is actually for February. It does say January at the top, but this is February's meeting. We held for park maintenance, we held interviews for three positions, full-time park maintenance staff members positions, and then one full-time custodial position. We had outside applicants and we had our in-house temp employees apply. We did select the three temp positions, the two that have been working under park maintenance and then the one that's been doing custodial. So that is Dan and Alberto were selected for park maintenance, and then Alan, who is our custodial, he carried over there. And so now we have those positions open up, the temp positions back up, and we run them pretty much 8 hours a week. So if we can get more temps in, we're excited about that. And we also have a three-quarter time position that we're hoping to do some recruiting on also, and to kind of boost up our park maintenance staff. We had OSHA come out. Keely was part of this. OSHA, we invited them out to do an inspection on our facilities. They came out and they do come out and check on the aquatic center on and off when we invite them, just to make sure everything's looking good over there. But during that time, we also discovered that we never had that from our recollection that we've never had OSHA at the rec center. And that was a very good walkthrough. There was things that we were doing that we weren't, aware that we probably shouldn't have. And so it was nice to have OSHA come through. Our HR and safety office has no record of them ever coming through the rec center. We don't from our end. And so it really pointed out a few things that we needed to clear up and change from a procedural standpoint. So that was a good thing. And then I also attended a workshop with Oregon State Parks for the grant that I'm applying for and working on right now. Hope to submit by the end of the week, or I will be submitting by the end of the week. On the rec center side, they partnered with the county and have become a site for free COVID tests. And masks, and so we have that as a handout spot for people to come if the community members need it, and we've been promoting that. They kicked off their Clean Beaches Art Contest, which is actually wrapping up, this week. And it's generated a lot. I think this past weekend they had a lot of trash cleanup. We've had a lot of community support there. Thompson's has helped boost that through social media. And the piece there is you clean up trash and then do some artwork on the beach and take a picture and submit it, and then they'll select a winner. And we've partnered with Clearwater. This is, I think, the second or third time we've partnered with Clearwater to offer a $100 gift card for that, for the winner. So a nice little incentive. And then they've also kicked off their virtual mileage challenge called Wagons and Waves, which is, it became very popular during COVID. People enroll into these competitions and gather mileage and over a certain time period. And so the mileage is moving across the state of Oregon. Jenny Rimmelard, our rec program specialist, she's reached out. She created this program, and she's reached out and partnered with a lot of the chambers, Chamber of Commerce across the state, and they've been promoting it. So we have not just some people registering and participating locally here in the county, but we also have people across the state and Washington, other states that are participating because of that partnership we've generated with these chambers. So it's a really, really good program. And it's successful. Right now, I think we have like 36 people that registered. On the park side, we've been wrapping up projects. A lot of the information in the reports from Anita, I put Scott's name down, but it was actually from Anita. We were wrapping up some projects over at Coast Park, clearing the hillside and creating better visibility. There used to be blackberries across that hillside mm-hmm. that goes from the pirate slide down to the bottom. And so we've cleared that out, and we were planning on doing some planting along that hillside and some low maintenance, low growth vegetation to shore up any erosion there. Hoping to get a fence installed there also. We're pricing that out to keep kids from running up the hillside. But also it's a good safety thing, create better visibility for parents up to the top of the slide, but also people that like to hang out at the gazebo up at the top also. That's a little more visibility from the parking lot there. Crews also cleaned up Vietnam Veterans Walk Memorial Walkway. There were some erosion issues at the base where it connects to the beach. And so they shored that up with some base rock and then some erosion that was coming underneath the actual pathway, and we're having bricks settling down, and so they shored that up. We had some vandalism on that trail. The cable system that runs on the west side of the trail has been vandalized 3 times, and so we installed a heavy-duty chain in there, and so somebody would have to come in with a blowtorch to take the chain out. So hopefully that won't happen. Big project that we hope to be taking on, working with the library and engineering, is the library parking lot. They have some erosion that's happening along the outside stairway there between the upper and lower parking lot. And then there's some other landscaping around the building that needs to be done. And so the Parks Department and engineering are working together on that. 60 Plus Center, Sonia is still just drinking from a fire hose on that side. She's working closely with the accreditation process. That's been a process that Peggy started and then kind of got put on hold when she retired, plus some staff turnover on the accreditation side. And so they've gotten that up and running again. They also started a 4-week class, digital photography class. And Bryn McCormick, who's probably one of our best volunteers over at the 60 Plus Center, she's restarted her virtual Walk with Ease program, and that's an evidence-based program, and that is a program that we are working closely with Samaritan and the National Recreation Parks Association. And as a program with creating connections and evidence-based programming for community facilities and to receive referrals from the hospital, and kind of creating that connection. So that's another program that's expanding, and we should be presenting. There's discussion we might present at our state conference, that partnership and really trying to spread that program across the state. For sports, Billy in the month of February finished youth basketball that ended at the end of the month February. Great turnout. Surprisingly, coming out of COVID, those numbers that Billy got for youth basketball equaled the numbers that we had pre-COVID for the last season pre-COVID. Cool. So that was very exciting. We were able to fill 18 teams, close to 180 kids registered. So that was a great, great thing. Program that Billy started also is roller skating at the rec center. Mm-hmm. It was a program that occurred early on in my role of sports and then kind of fizzled out. We didn't have a lot of desire from the community to do it. And then Billy got a few phone calls and then it snowballed from there. And now we have like anywhere between 10 to 25 participants per night during the drop-in. So that's a great program. And then middle school track and adult basketball are programs that are going to be coming up here. Well, track is actually going right now. We have about 50 kids, and then adult basketball is going to start at the end of the month. And then news on the sports side, Billy did resign. He put in his 2 weeks notice yet, and he actually left not last week, but the week prior was his resignation. He had some personal stuff that he needed to deal with down back with in San Diego. So, very good reasons. And so he's going to be missed. We're already starting to recruit. And in the meantime, Justin Layton, who was my part-time sports rec leader, agreed to come in on a part-time role to help kind of fill that gap in the meantime. And Justin started last week. And he's been doing really well. He's been working for 3 days a week. He works full time. So he's just kind of doing this, out of the good graces of his heart. So, but he cares about the community. So he's doing really well so far in the last couple weeks. So on the pool side, we had in-service training. Staff was working on, different rescues, shallow water rescues, up, getting their skills back up, for first aid, CPR, and then different procedural stuff they do in the facility. Their evening boot camp is still going, 11 participants, and I'm not really going to harp too much on the pool because I know Keely already gave a full rundown early on in the agenda. But doing really well over there, besides the staffing issues, and we hope to get that. We were hoping in April we would be back up and running and opening those middle day hours, but we'll see. And then, and that's it. Oh, and then, yeah, she also did, she also had their winter carnival, that happened, and that was a great program. That was like, Keely, I believe that was the second time, right? Because you did one right before COVID. So it's a good, fun program.
Mike, I got a question for you, Mike. At the beginning of your report, all those positions that you talked about that have been filled, were those all old positions that were vacated because of COVID?
Park maintenance side?
Park, exactly.
No,
those weren't new positions.
Yeah, no, those are new positions. The old structure, park maintenance, we had three full-time positions. That was the supervisor plus two crew members. And then we had one part-time position that worked on the weekends. And then the rest of our staff, which was four positions, were temps that we did through Barrett Employment Services here in town. And a big thing over the last couple of years with city council, city admin, and our department was beautification in the city. The need for it, a lot of things are, have been kind of not given the proper attention. And so, for the first couple of years, I learned the department, learned the division, kind of evaluating what all our work responsibilities are, lots of discussions with city manager, city council. And we got approval for those three positions, full-time positions. We tried to hold off on filling them until we had our park maintenance supervisor on board, but that was on a delay, trying to go through multiple rounds of applicants. And so we decided to go ahead and fill those three new positions, which was the two park maintenance and the one custodial. And we filled those with our temps, like I said, and the idea is we're still going to get to keep most of our temp positions. We only, out of the four temp positions, we're only losing one of them. And so that's really going to help bolster our crews, and we're actually going to be able, right now we're running two crews, and we're going to actually, as we get more temps in, we're probably going to split out and create three crews. And kind of get a little bit better game plan for how we're doing our daily rotations, weekly rotations, quarterly rotations of what we're really tackling. You know, we hope to upgrade our field maintenance program for our sports fields. We're hoping to up our rotation and how we're doing custodial. We're hoping to up our and improve our rotation for our different tiers of parks, you know, high level visibility, high use parks, all the way down to the lower ones, and then prioritizing them out. And so we got a lot of movement on the park side. We've recently met. We have an online system to generate work orders. We want to push that system. It's never been in our crew's hands. And those, it should be in our crew's hands, so as they see things in the parks, they can automatically create work orders and drop them into the system, and that'll help Scott, our supervisor, to, you know, then assign those works out later on in the week or month. And so that way we're staying on top of things. We've always been very reactive, and we want to get to that proactive state. And that will help us too from a scheduling side, because, you know, between park maintenance and public works, those are the big bodies of staff and the muscle. And so, you know, public works and the park maintenance staff constantly get internal requests to do, you know, facilitate or help move things in other departments. And we want to be able to develop our schedule, routine schedules, weekly, monthly, quarterly. That way, we have defined things on our calendar that are for park maintenance, and then we can just plug and play when we get these other requests from other departments. And that way we're staying on top of what we need to do, but also, you know, assisting other departments.
So it's 9:58, and unfortunately I have another call that I have to be on at 10 o'clock. So do we have any public present on our call? I don't believe we do. Now's the time for public comments.
I just wanted to make one comment if I could. This is Todd.
Yep.
I just want to point out our distinct lack of soccer fields. I know people are aware of that, but just in going forward in this town, I think we need to think a bit more about soccer. We have great support for swimming and great support for baseball and things, but the soccer seems to be kind of left behind a little bit, and more kids are playing soccer than ever, and it's great for kids because it's more aerobic than some sports do. So I just wanted to... I know it's a tough situation for space and money and everything like that, but I think it would be great if we could somehow, as a community, start thinking more about like some soccer fields or indoor soccer fields or something.
Yeah.
And a couple things. Todd, I do have an update. I forgot to include that for the park master plan for soccer fields. And I know Cheryl's going to be jumping off and we're going to lose our quorum. We can keep having this discussion, but we do need to end the meeting if she leaves. But we can have a general discussion on the back end. If anybody wants to stay, I can give an update on that. And I apologize. I forgot to include that.
Yeah. Maybe that's a good item to put on the next month's agenda.
Yeah, let's do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me, yeah.
So we have Judy for the rec center update and then the soccer field need discussion.
Mm-hmm. I think along the lines of that, as far as soccer fields go, I mean, until somebody comes forward with real estate to do that, like that's really the bigger piece. And I think we'd be limited, you know, to think just for soccer only. Like I think multi-use fields for sure are a huge need. But until real estate becomes, I mean, we all have heard it a million times for sure. It's hard, absolutely. But I think
it's hard, but we need to have that discussion, or it will never happen if we don't have that discussion.
No, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying to include in that is like what, even from like a, we need the thing, like what's the broader, like how do we access the property? Because that's where we got to keep talking about it or it never will happen. And we got to think broad because that hasn't happened to this point.
All right, let's do it next meeting.
Yeah.
All right.
So our next meeting date, Mike, can you confirm it's April 26th, I believe?
Yep, April 26th. It is an in-person meeting. We are now moving back to that. Yeah, right. I know. I'm very excited. I know everybody's like excited to see each other. So we'll be April 26th here in Council Chamber. If you can't make it, we could provide a Zoom, but if you're in town and you're able to make it for a full hour, we need to have in person. But if you're going to be out of town, working in the Valley, or, you know, vacation, still want to attend there, we can still do Zoom that way. But the idea is in person. But it will be April 26th,
9 a.m. Mike, I have a question about that. Do you send out an invite that includes everybody, like a calendar invite, or you just put the date out and people kind of put it on their calendar?
We've done it just because not everybody, you know, if I send it out, it's going to be through Outlook. I mean, I can do that, but not everybody has.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'll stick it on there.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. Good question. You and Charles are still figuring out the ins and outs. But, yeah, it'll be an invite out. I usually try to get it out a couple weeks in advance, and then I'll send the agenda the week before. And I think right now, Cheryl, I've got Judy coming back, the soccer field discussion, and then on the 12-month calendar we do have for the month of April, potentially I'll have to see, is the bike and ped committee chair coming in. Yep. And providing an update and see where we can do some collaboration from this committee side on anything they're doing. And then I also had Vision 2040, but I'd have to double check with Nancy on if
okay.
we have finalized who would be on that committee. So we might not have an update there.
And I know Coast Hills will be coming up, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'll put that down.
Might be a good, yeah.
Mike, a little off topic. When does Billy Bechtel's position, when will it post or open for application?
It's already open. And so,
okay.
Bringing that up, Shelly, if you guys know of anybody in the community, please encourage them to apply. That's one thing for a lot of our positions. Surprisingly, we don't get for a lot of local applications. And so, if we have that, that'd be great. Even if it's out of towners, anybody that you guys know that want to move here, please encourage them. We're looking for good.
Do you use social media? Yeah. Do you use social media as an advertising platform?
We do. I don't know if we pushed it out on our department one, but I know the city does push some stuff out through the HR, through the main city page.
Well, thank you for everyone. This is a great meeting. I'm sorry that I have to go, but I do.
Well, I think we've got our next meeting agenda and date set. I think we can adjourn.
Thank you, everyone. It's great talking to you. Exciting hearing about some of the new things.
Okay, our
meeting's
adjourned at 10:04.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Looking forward to meeting everyone in person.
Right.
Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.
Hey, Mike.
Hold on now.
Mike.